saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. What is happening? We are back with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. As always, I'm here with my brother and my co-host, Mr. Jake B.
Hello.
As always, today we are joined with a very special guest. But before we introduce her, episode 26, Jake, what's up? What's new?
What is new? We are back from tour. I am back in the barbershop. I'm cutting hair. I'm surfing. Life is getting normal again. But we do have a live show coming up at the Improv, so I'm nervous as shit. What's new with you, Duddy?
Yeah, also, you know, excited slash nervous about the Improv show. Really looking forward to that. Going to be a lot of fun. Other than that, I got this going on tonight, and then I'm leaving for like a 4-day fishing trip with my family, and I cannot freaking wait. It's going to be amazing.
You came back from a 10-day camping trip, and now you're leaving for a 4-day fishing trip.
Well, I fished the entire time on that camping trip, but yes, that is true.
Fucking tough life, dude.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry you have to do these things.
It's tough, but you know what? Someone's got to catch those fish.
That's right. Otherwise, they swim free, and you know, I know. You got to get them.
It's got to happen. And other than that, in the Dirty Heads world, we got some cool stuff coming up. October 4th, we will be performing in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay, which is always a fun show, so make sure you get your tickets for that. And then also in November, we will be doing a small run, doing some of the makeup shows that got canceled from the last tour, so we're excited to get back out to those places and make up those shows for our fans, so we can't wait to see you guys there. And other than that, let's introduce our guest.
Let's do this.
She is a stand-up comedian. She is a podcaster. She is an actress. She somehow finds time to train in mixed martial arts. And then after all of that, she's got a 9-to-5 job at one of the largest
production
companies. Imagine
Entertainment.
I don't know how she finds the energy, but this is one of the reasons we wanted her to be here today. Not just from being a comedian and all that other stuff, but just we love how much energy she has and how hard she hustles. Give it up for Vanessa Johnston.
Oh, wow, guys. Wow, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. And you sat in fucking L.A. traffic for God knows how long to get here, and you worked all day today. The hustle never ends with you.
I did.
How was the drive? Was it horrifying?
I mean, it was nice. I pooped in a cup on the way down. Just grabbed a cup from the back, snipped it off with my sin clippers, and popped a squat.
You're not even, that's like you added details. I think you're telling the truth.
It's the truth.
So dude, when someone says, where do you find the time? You're like, dude, I shit
in the car.
As I drive, yeah.
Do you have that cup? We'll put it on a shelf.
Mark, our producer, would like that cup, actually, if you could bring it. Oh.
I was driving back from Vegas 2 nights ago, and you know that drive. Like on Sunday, yeah, sometimes there's a lot of traffic, and sometimes there's not a lot, but it's a hit or miss situation. and there wasn't any traffic, and I was like, I'm gonna keep up the momentum, and I literally shit in my cup again. Like,
so that's just a thing you do.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's not really like a thing, but like,
it's not my thing.
It's not my thing. I'm sure other people do it, but I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to stop and lose this non-traffic energy. But then I had to stop because I was like, what's this shit cup doing in my car, dude? Like, I have to throw it away.
Dude,
you know?
I feel like her and one of our past guests, Anthony, would fucking just
the big
be,
tall guy you met when you walked in here.
Oh, yeah.
He's got
he likes to shit and stuff too.
I don't know if you know this about our show too. Like, for some reason, the first episode we did, someone told us a shit story, like that they shit their pants. And it was funny and our listeners liked it. And then the guy on our third show told us a shit story because of the first episode. He's like, oh, I got one too. And now it's a thing. We've had like 10 people and you just came in and I don't even think you knew that. You just happened.
I didn't know.
There's something about our show. It's like,
they're like, poop comedy will work
here. Yes, yeah. Yes, it's welcome here. He claims he's never shit his pants. He's like a perfect human, but
I didn't say I was a perfect human, but I did say that post diaper, I haven't shit my pants.
And you didn't shit your pants either. You shit a cup. So
yeah.
Very different. Yeah.
And we've talked about that. There's a big difference of shitting somewhere. Like, I've had to shit in some rough places.
Yes.
I shit in a parking lot, leaning up against a pole and just shit. I've had to do that, but not in my pants.
The difference is aim.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because that was the loophole for me. I've never shit my pants, but I pulled my pants down, shit, and it hit my pants. It like hit the belt line, and so I kind of got a finger in the game.
Yeah, me and Dustin got that sniper aim, you know?
Yeah, you guys are fucking good shitters, dude. Yeah.
Jake got that Army Reserve aim.
Yeah, he's just spraying. He's got like
barely
a
made
shotgun.
It, barely, barely made it past the boot camp.
Oh,
aim.
Dude.
He made it into the boot
camp. I'm the
camp.
Guy that gets beat with a fucking pillowcase with soap in it, asshole. That's me in the boot camp.
Okay.
That's a thing, right, in a movie?
I wonder who's listening to this at work, just like
what
in an office.
Fuck?
God.
Oh, a shit, in a man. Suit. They're like in a suit. Like, yeah.
These guys, get over here and listen to these guys. They all shit their pants.
Shitting in a suit, though.
The thing.
That's next level, because that's layers.
Yeah. Wow.
It's usually tucked in shirt.
And also, that's not something you can wash in the privacy of your own home. Like, that's like a,
that's a walk of shame.
Yeah.
Ooh. To some Armenian dude's place in a strip mall. You got to put that in a bag. You have to put
that in a plastic bag. Like, bro, buddy,
I get
that
out. Try to pull
it
out and not touch the parts and then be like, I'm so sorry. I had sex this weekend in Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Like that
for
segue.
You.
Yeah,
that was a good
so
segue.
Much.
Speaking of shit pants, I had sex in Vegas.
And we had sex so much that the last time we had sex, I bled. And I thought he broke something in my body. And at first it hurt really bad, but then I was like kind of proud of him. I was like, no, don't feel bad. Like, you should be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you fuck an injury into a girl, like, you should, that's an applause,
dude.
You know?
Wait, let's get him on the show.
So you're going to call him back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, but I was at this hotel room and then I saw the blood. There was like blood all over the sheets. And I was like, oh, oops. And then I left. And my friends were like, oh, did you leave a tip? And I was like, no, I didn't know that you're supposed to tip people to clean it up.
Because
it's the same sheets. You still got washed. They don't have to do extra.
Are you sure you weren't just on your period?
Okay, so that's what I discovered. I am on my period.
So he didn't even...
No. He just fucked my period out of me.
Okay.
I feel like that's still kind of a win, though.
Yeah, for sure. He got his red wings.
It took your mind off it.
It was like, I didn't know if I was maybe pregnant from before, so it was like a mild abortion. No,
oh,
okay.
You're not anymore.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
Open up.
All right.
You know what?
We've covered shitting in a cup. We've covered fucking till bleeding.
Yeah. And abortion.
What's next?
She's very closed off. Yeah. It's just hard to get any answers out of her.
How do you feel about
trying
religion?
Trying to learn who you are. That's
are you
all
a religious
this is. I mean, please. Safe space.
Okay.
So, anywho.
So,
oh, my God.
So, I have a 9-to-5.
Yes.
I get called into HR all the time.
Oh, you do? Okay. So, keep going. Because I know this has got to be real.
Well, it's hard. I mean, it's...
Well, wait. At work, what are you just telling people? If he fucked the blood out of me, your boss walks over, hi.
No, that would be like, I mean, my boss would be like, you know, you seemed a little stressed a couple weeks ago. You probably need some dick. Like, yeah. No.
Laid back, boss.
I got in trouble. Yeah. So we own the TV show Empire.
Oh,
and
nice one.
And I got in trouble for, okay, you know when the Jesse... Smollett thing happens.
Yes.
Is that how you say it? Everyone calls him Smollett.
Esmalier.
Esmalier. Well, now, I knew that there was something more to that.
But wait, maybe it's just Esmalier. No, because now I'm getting confused because I watched Dave Chappelle's special.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you say Esmalier? I don't know. Anyway, I work there. I don't know how to say his name anymore. Anyway. Jesse Smollett, maybe it is Jesse Smollett.
I don't know.
I don't remember anymore. I have a bad memory. Anyway, so I tweeted, I was like, oh, Jesse should go. It is Smollett. I took that from Chappelle. Bro, I don't even know. I was like, Juicy Smollett.
Juicy Smollier.
Anyway, so I tweeted, I was like, oh, Jesse should go to jail for saying he's the gay Tupac. This was like when it first came out, like before we even know he was guilty of anything. This was like the day he got arrested.
He said that?
No, I tweeted that.
Oh, wow. Fucking hell.
I was like,
he was like, I'm the gay.
Yeah, he called himself the gay Tupac. He was like, you know, I'm being prosecuted. I'm like the gay Tupac. And then I tweeted, I was like, he should go to jail for saying that. And then the next day I got called in HR with like a printout of my tweet. I'm sorry, Vanessa, we need to talk to you. Why do you think you can tweet this? And I was like, I don't know, because it's funny. Yeah, but you work at the company that produces this TV show. Please delete it. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry.
For the record, still funny.
Still funny.
And I wish he was the black Tupac and shoot him five times. Or the gay Tupac,
anyway.
I was
going to say the black Tupac.
Like, he is black. Oh, shit, he's got a point. Oh, whoop. Anyway, I fucked that whole shit up. HR should come talk to me, Jude, Jake. No more shitty jokes. I'll try. All right. What's going on?
We had such a plan, and it just took such a quick left turn. I'm like, where do I fucking go?
We had this plan, and then she told us she shit in a cup. And we're
like, okay. And then we were going to talk about Vegas, but she jumped right into that. So, yeah.
Mark, stop flirting. She's flirting with Mark now. Mark has won her over.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast dad?
Podcast Mark, were dad. You in Vegas this past weekend?
Oh,
show me
no.
your dick.
It's like this all's remnants of crusty blood.
Oh God, I didn't mean it, Mark. For the listeners, he pulled out his. No, he didn't. You almost did, Mark. I saw the top.
Yeah.
Top of the shaft where it connects to the. You get it.
Oh,
right.
Are we still going on about
we
it?
We are, dude. She started it. Now we can't stop. Let's just go back to you being such a ball of energy.
Let's just go there. Let's just go into the word of the day today,
dude.
Let's
oh
go
God,
in there.
Vanessa,
so every show we like to have. Some sort of word that just, you know, the word of the day, something that's going to be inspiring or make you feel good or just make you think. And today, having Vanessa on, our word of the day is energy, because she just has so much energy. And I loved what Jake had to say about it, how you have to use energy to create energy. And what were
for
you saying
instance,
about
some
that?
Some people will say, like, look, Vanessa, for instance, she could go do the 9-to-5 job and go home and be, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, you know, or she could go do the 9-to-5 job and maybe do one stand-up set somewhere and go home. I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And you will be, you are tired, right? But in reality, even when you say you're tired after working all day, you could go run 10 miles. You could do it. If you had to, you would do it. And what happens is, once you actually go run after work or whatever it is you keep telling yourself you want to do, it becomes easier. So you have to use energy first to get the energy. If you just go home and say you're tired every day, you will be tired every single day after work. But if you go home and go, I'm tired, but I'm going to the gym, every single day after that, it becomes easier to go to the gym. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, energy, you have to start the ball rolling for it to continue rolling. And someone like Vanessa, fucking hell, when did you start this ball rolling? And it's obviously not stopping. I can't believe how far you guys have to understand. Like, LA to Tustin, where our studio is, on a Monday in traffic is just nuts to want to drive anyway. And she did a whole day of work among everything else she does. And she drove all the way here. How do you find the energy? What's your story? What the fuck? You get off work. What goes through your head?
Well, I wake up at 7 a.m.
7 a.m.
The sound of that. A cock or
that's her alarm.
Yeah. Or just like an actual cock hitting me in the face. Bitch, wake up, suck my dick before breakfast. I'm like, get up, go to my office, suck office dick. Which is basically just, I mean, not like not actual
the
dick.
Worst kind of
work, yeah. Work dick. I don't know what.
For like 8 hours, just a slow.
Just a slow tug.
Just a slow, like, are you coming yet? Nope. Okay, just a slow 8 hour.
Can I take
hour.
A lunch break? No, keep, okay.
Okay, keep going. I work until about like 6, 7-ish p.m. And then I leave and I go do stand-up or I do my podcast or I train groundlings. I don't know. I just do something. I always work. But here's the thing. People look at, I think, because people are like, how do you do all this stuff? You know? I think people look at their work life or their is like, okay, it's from, you know, 9 to 6, right? That's my work life. And then everything else is my me time. I just don't have those boundaries. So to me, it's like my work life is from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. That's my work life. Like 7 to 11, I work every day. And that's so, you know, at when I get done with work at 6, it's like, or at that job, I'm just like, all right, now I go, I have, you know, 5 more hours to go do more work, another job. That's how I look at it. I don't know. I don't think it's a formula. But some people do think they're like, how do you get, I don't, you just do it. I am tired all the time. I think it is important. This is what I think is important. I think it's important to get, you know, the amount of sleep you need. I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink caffeine. I smoke weed like once a while. I just started doing mushrooms, mm-hmm. which is very exciting. Oh, I just started growing mushrooms.
Oh shit. You got
yes,
into it.
I got into it. Just started growing mushrooms. Unsuccessful. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. I have two plants in my house that are like regular house plants, and the only reason they're alive is because they're those plants that get sad when they're thirsty. So we'll
know.
See.
Oh shit.
My green thumb is like yeah. is like a light mint green at best.
you might kill the mushrooms is what you're saying.
Yeah. They might just be like, they just might end up being mold. Who knows? So yeah, I don't know. I just get up and go. And it is one of those things, like you said, it's a snowball. So when you push something, the most amount of energy it takes to get something moving is when you start it, right? So the hardest part is just starting. And then if you keep the ball moving, it's pretty easy to keep it moving. But if you stop the ball, it's hard to start pushing it again.
Yeah.
So that's like when I had 7 at 7 a.m. Okay, oh, fucking here we go. You know, pushing that and just go, 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 go until 11 p.m. That's I think, the best way to do it.
You just told yourself the ball doesn't stop rolling till 11.
Yeah.
So I'm going
here
till
we go.
11.
We're going all in.
To be honest with you, there's some, I'll take a couple days off a month, you know, like 2 weekends ago, I took a Saturday off and I was like, I'm not going to do shit. I'm going to take it easy today. Have no plan. Bro, I got nothing done. I watched like 5 hours of Vampire Diaries and I was supposed to do 2 spots that night. And I was like, I don't want to get out of bed. I'm just going to cancel.
Yeah.
I canceled them. I mean, it wasn't like a big show or anything, but it was still stand up. I should have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm in this bed. Like, I don't want to get
this
ball rolling.
Yeah.
So that's the hardest part, is just getting it started.
Getting that's how it started. Fast it happens, too.
I'm sure you guys see it. You guys go on tour and stuff.
All the time. And I see it with myself. Like, when I'm on the road, it's just like you said, you're just constantly going. And you get into that mode where you're just like, go, 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 go. And I get home and like all I want to do is just chill. And I see how easy and how quick I could just become lazy.
Like, it mm-hmm. takes like a day. Like you said, one day off.
You're like, next thing you know, you're just napping like in the middle of the day, every day.
Yeah.
Fuck, I gotta do something. But that usually happens for me for like a couple of days after I get home from tour. And then I gotta do stuff. And I'm back in, you know, I just gotta get the ball rolling again. So it's just like you got to use energy to create energy, and we're not talking about just like energy to go run around and do shit. Like that goes for anything. Like you said to me earlier, we were talking about this. You walk into a room and you've got negative energy right when you walk in there. You're gonna bring down the energy of that whole room.
You will create negative energy.
You're
gonna
create more negative energy, and that's gonna spread. Or you walk into a room with this just great energy and this positive vibe. That's gonna spread so quick, and you're gonna create so much more positive energy, and next thing you know, that room is just going to be an amazing place to be. So it's all up to you, mm-hmm. how much work you want to put into it, how much energy you want to spend to create more energy, and what kind of energy are you trying to create?
Positive, y'all.
Yeah.
And this is that's why we love these. We always try to find some sort of word where anyone who's listening can immediately plug it into their day. Like, it's not fucking brain surgery. It's not like anyone who's hearing us say this, you already know this. You already know this, but maybe someone who's listening, like you wanted to start something, but you tell yourself you're exhausted after work. Just start it tomorrow or tonight. I don't know when you're listening to this. And then the ball will continue rolling. I mean, look at Vanessa's Instagram, you know, go to Vanessa Johnston's Instagram. First of all, you're going to see, you'll see a little bit more. No, the Vegas stories have now been 24 hours. They're past. But you got to hear a little of the Vegas story here. And just, you know, if you need motivation, go to her Instagram. You'll be like, how do you even find time to do it all? And she shits in a cup. You guys know.
Shits in a cup.
It ain't easy. No one's saying it's that, but the energy's there. It's in your body.
Yeah. You got somewhere to be. You got somewhere to be. You're running out of time. You're racing down the freeway. You got to get there. You're running out of time. You don't want to be late. You fucking shit in a cup. You shit in that cup because you know what? That's going to be a little shitty, but you're going to get through that. And then when you get there and you make it to the meeting on time, Jake, guess what? That's going to make you feel good. And on this show, we have a couple sponsors, and they are things that make us feel good. So let's Segway get into King it. Yeah, fucking I'm fucking good at segues, man. I don't know why. I just am so good at them. First, Koi CBD. What an amazing product and amazing company. I talk about it all the time. I use the drops every morning. I love the way it makes me feel. They've got so many amazing products for you. You got to check it out. But what I want to talk about right now, I talked about it last episode. They just started having, they have CBD products now for dogs. And I had a dog that I just recently had to put down, and she was having a rough time walking in her last few months. I started giving her CBD. I definitely noticed a huge change in just her being able to get up and how mobile she was. I could tell it was definitely helping her with her joint pains. And now my other dog is like around 9 now. She's fine, but I'm already giving it to her because I'm what do they say? I'm nipping in the button now. I'm starting early. So yeah, Koi CBD, check it out. Great products, great people. If you go to koicbd.com and you put in code DUDDYB, you're going to get 20% off. Can't beat it.
I'm really glad you remembered nip it in the bud because you looked at me and said, what do they say? And I have no fucking idea what they say.
I don't even think that's what they say for that specific thing.
I don't know why
thing.
They would ever say that for that. You're like, what do they say? I'm like, who's they? Nip it in the bud. I don't know. Fucking God.
All right. Also, sticky vapes. Another amazing product that we use on the daily. They've been supporting the podcast since day one. We also made our own Dirty Head Sticky Vapes. Boom! I use it all the time. I always got one in my pocket because I'm a pot-smoking millennial business guy, and I'm on the go! Can't have a big old bong in my pocket. I might get bong water on my suit.
I don't even think you're a millennial. But
no, I'm not, and I don't have a suit. Stickyvape.com. Check it out. Great product. Jake, where do you use your sticky vape?
Temple.
That's a good spot.
Yeah.
Okay, also Onnit, another company that is amazing that's been helping out with the podcast, and that is Onnit. Oh, you like Onnit?
No, I just know.
Did you just have a Vegas flashback?
I just know somebody that's involved in that.
That was like the best plug for Onnit ever. I said Onnit, and she just went, oh.
Wait, yeah. Can I? So,
the ladies like Onnit.
I want to send it. Okay, go on.
Sadly enough, all we have left here is this packet of Alpha Brain, which I actually love. It's one of my favorite things of theirs. This instant powder of Alpha Brain is amazing. You just dump it in some water or whatever. It tastes great. It just helps you for your focus and just your memory and all that. And not to mention, they just have so many amazing products. Whatever you're looking for whatever you're doing personally, they've got something for you. You just need to go to their website, onnit.com. That's 2 N's, onnit.com. And if you do /daddy on that, you're going to get 10% off. But it looks like Jake wants to tell you about something else.
I have an addition. So I talked to the guys at Onnit. They are doing a contest right now. It's called the Golden Ticket. So if you buy the Alpha Brain, which is that, that's the powder version though. If you buy the pill version of Alpha Brain, if you buy the 60 or the 80 count bottles, there's a golden ticket in every single one of them. And the golden ticket is like a prize of some sort. The prizes range from small to big. But one of the biggest prizes is you get to go to the headquarters of Alpha Brain. You get to train there, which we got to do. Full Muay Thai, everything class. It was dope. I was looking at Vanessa for
is
the listeners.
That's in Texas, right?
Austin, bragging. Yeah.
Yes, it was in Austin. And you get to go there. You get like, I don't want to fucking be incorrect because they're going to send me the script soon. But I believe you get like a year's supply of Alpha Brain and a year's supply of like Total Human, all this stuff. I am going to get a proper script soon and I will read it properly. But until then, go get that golden ticket. You be Charlie. This is your chocolate factory. Yeah, I don't think they sell chocolate. You get it. Get the fucking Alpha Brain. You're going to get a golden ticket. Thanks, Duddy, for letting me jump in there. What did you want to say? You have a friend on it?
Oh, I'll say it after.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you just get nervous that we said Alpha Brain and she finally got...
No,
oh,
no, I'll say it later.
The guy from Vegas is the owner.
I don't think it
owner.
Can be public.
Oh my
I'm
gosh,
guessing it's something Duddy, to do with this.
That's not...
And this is not a sponsor of the show, but it might as well be Four Sons Brewing. It's a local Huntington brewery, and wait, did I say that right?
Probably not, dude. You look really confused.
But we made a Dirty Heads beer with them, and it's freaking delicious. It's called Vacation. It's a pineapple session ale. Check it out. Four Sons Brewery, Dirty Heads Vacation Ale. It's great.
Well, you guys have your own ale, and you have your own vape. Damn, you guys have made it. You've made it.
That's how you know we've made it.
They're there.
You get your own beer, you get your own vape pen, you made it.
You've made it.
You've
bro.
Heard it here. So there, I think we did it. I think we got through the sponsors.
Didn't leave anything out?
I think we did it. That was good.
Dude. Just got the applause button. I just, it feels good to hit.
All right. Do we want to do a couple fan questions here?
We do. Yeah. Do you have some or?
I got a couple.
And
we're
live on YouTube as well. So Natasha, if you're out there, if anyone's asking anything interesting, no creepy pervs. All right. We know you're, there you go. Show us the pervs actually. This might be funny.
My tits are at 32D.
Oh, shit.
In case no one was asking.
He was just offering that up.
Oh, bodies at the rest area. What? Bodies in motion. What?
Yeah, for the listeners, we're looking. This is good pod. We're just okay. Staring at the chat on YouTube right now.
So RonJohn22, Vanessa, wants to know, who's been like the hardest comedian for you to follow? That's kind of a good question, I feel like. Because I know in comedy, that's a thing. Like there's certain comedians you're like, fuck, I hate following this guy.
Bert Kreischer.
Does he just kill it?
Ugh. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, totally.
Well, and then the sexiness of him with the shirt off. Yeah. He had a fall. Yeah. Good luck.
Oh, that guy's so fucking funny.
He is very funny.
I had a really tough time following him in the main room at the store one time. And I remember watching him, and that was one of those days where I worked all fucking day, and I was so tired, and I was on a late show. So the comic that was running it was like, you're going to go up at midnight. And I was like, fuck. And then I went up at 12:30. And so Kreischer went up and fucking destroyed, bro. And then I was just watching it and I was like, I should quit stand up. I literally thought that. I was like, I need to quit comedy. I can't. How? I mean, he's been doing it for 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
But I went up and it was hard, definitely. There's a couple people that everyone gets nervous following. I would say it's Kreischer is hard, Burr. No one wants to follow Bill Burr.
Oh, God, how could you dare?
Yeah, and no one wants to follow D'Elia, really.
Okay.
D'Elia can just walk up there and make fun of the crowd for 2 hours, and you're going to die.
Yeah.
Those are the three guys. And they hate following each other. Like, Bird hates following D'Elia. D'Elia hates, and they're like, fuck, because they're all just so, they have such specific POVs.
Yeah.
And they have this specific energy, and people just love them.
Just feed on
and
it.
So, and then when you walk up, you feel like you're just, like, disappointing, you know? I feel like it'd be like this. I feel like it'd be like you have you're dating a chick and you see that she's being like rammed by like a 6'7" black dude and you're like a 4'11" white dude and you're like, all right, tag, I'm in. Like you're like, time to go disappoint her.
Oh, that is a very good analogy, actually. I could picture it. That would suck.
You're like, but maybe I'm gonna try super hard and she'll like me for my personality. Right. And you know,
I'll make her laugh.
And then you quit sex and die. And and then you kill yourself.
Think about that too for the listeners. Like, you know, that's a side of comedy that no one thinks about. You're standing on the side of the stage, you're next, and you're watching someone absolutely murder an entire audience. It's hard enough to go on stage and try to tell jokes anyway. I've never done it. I can only imagine how horrifying it is. Most people don't even want to talk in front of their class, you know?
Yeah.
And imagine that. You're next. Your whole job is to go out there and make all these people love you and want to laugh, and you're watching someone just absolutely take all the laughter out of their bodies. Like, there's no more left. And then you got to go out there. I'm a huge boxing fan, always have been my whole life. And they would always say, like, it's the loneliest sport on earth. Like, yes, you have a team that you train with, you know, coaches, whatever. But you win and everyone's happy. But when you lose, they're like, you're in the shower by yourself after the fight, alone. It's not a team, you know? And even if you're in a band and you're watching, you know, fucking Rage Against the Machines on before you, and you're like, how the fuck do we follow this?
They
At least
play
you've
before
got
anymore.
All your... You know, yeah, no shit. Well, I said that because I remember from when they were first starting, bands saying they were the opening band on this tour, and we were like, I want to fucking quit, like you said. So even with a band, you've got 4 or 5 bandmates with you. You're going to go up there and get your ass kicked alone. Alone. Vanessa has to walk into a dark room, grab a single mic, and make all these people laugh that Bert Kreischer just destroyed. Put yourself in that position and have respect for fucking comedians, dude. Like,
that's
holy
tough.
Shit.
Well, and like, some days you don't feel like going to work.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I don't feel like going to work today. I just kind of want to, like, show up and go home. And comics have that. Every single comic has that. So some days you're like, I fucking don't want to come to work today. And then some asshole goes up. It's like you're in a meeting. You're like, I don't want to be in this meeting. Can we just get this meeting? And then some, like, some fucking teacher, pet... motherfucker goes up and is like, brings a PowerPoint with pictures and it's like,
I'm Bert Kreischer.
The articulate man of the Manchester thing. And you're like, oh, now I have to talk.
Oh, God damn it.
And then you go and do your best. And sometimes you crush it and you surprise yourself. And other times you disappoint even your dead relatives. You're like, fuck.
You don't even want to go to the grave. I can't look at the headstone. Oh, it's you told a great story on a podcast you were on. Stevie Weeby, I believe it was, podcast, which is Bobby Lee's brother. And you were on that podcast and you guys were talking about with Steve Byrne, who's a great comedian that you were on tour with. And it's about this sort of. It was a day that you guys, you were going to open up for Steve Byrne and you weren't feeling it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, I'll let you tell
me. I'm actually doing the Hollywood Improv tomorrow evening with Steve Byrne and a couple people. Plug.
Oh, shit. Well, this will be out tomorrow morning.
Perfect.
So go to the Hollywood. Sorry, you say
Wednesday night. Wednesday 10 p.m. night. Hollywood Improv main room.
So tonight, if you're getting this podcast, comes out tomorrow morning.
Crew will be
there. Oh, yeah.
Like Mark Normand and Steve Byrne, a couple people are going to be on
the
show.
He kills me.
He's so like that guy. Yeah, this is when I first started stand up. I was at Tempe. I think I was in Phoenix. At the Irvine Improv or no. that day is starting to hit me. I was in Tempe. I was in Phoenix. Okay, whatever. I was in Arizona. I was in the state of Arizona. And there was an improv there, and Steve Byrne was headlining, and I was doing spots with another comic, Mike Faberman, and he's like, oh, we're going to stop by the improv to do pop-in spots. And I was like, yeah, I'm kind of tired. I don't feel like going up. He's like, well, we'll just go there anyway. We go to the club, and I was like, I'm not going up. I'm tired. I feel sick. Because the night before, we had driven 14 hours. I mean, you guys know, like, when you go on the road, like, sometimes you drive in the middle of the night, the whole night. And
just drive.
Yeah, you just keep going, and you're like, you have to show up to work the next day. You're like, fuck, bro. And I was like, I don't want to go up. I'm not getting paid. I don't want to fucking do this. And he's like, every opportunity to go on stage, you should go up. And, you know, I went up, and I bombed for like 10 minutes.
And this was like a sold-out crowd, right?
Like 700 people.
This was like a cool opportunity for you to pop up and give it a go.
Yep. Bombed. And I was so upset. And then I was like, you know, I get off stage and I got mad at my friend's, Mike Faberman. I was like, see, you know, I was tired. If I would have been well rested, I could have done well. And I started making all these excuses for myself of why I didn't do well instead of just like purely just I didn't do well.
Had a bad day.
Yeah. Steve Byrne goes up and murders for an hour. Destroys for an hour. Just annihilates and then gets off stage. We all go in the green room. Steve Byrne falls over and he's like, fuck, I have the flu. I didn't sleep last night. I feel like shit. And I was like, wait, what, bro? You just went up and murdered for an hour.
Yeah.
How did you do that? And he looks at me. He's like, you know what? When people pay to see you, you learn after 20 years to just show the fuck up. Yep. He's like, you just show up and give them a show. And I was like, damn, dude. So, yeah. Anyway, no excuses. Just go. Just show
just
up.
Just go.
Show up. Just put show on up. A good show. And you know what? It's true. Those people all have 9-to-5s. They're working hard. This is their day off. They're spending their good, hard-earned money to go have a good time. And, you know, it's up to you kind of to go out there and provide them with a good night, you know?
It's like the podcast, you know? I think, you know, like people are taking time off from, or maybe they're listening at work because their job is dope. Because you don't run around. you know, they have a. Oh, there's questions on the thing. That's cool. Been
I love the donut overalls.
Oh, I have a heckled story.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
Someone asked if I've ever been heckled.
Let's hear it.
I have a heckled story. Okay. So when I first started stand up, because I was a girl and there were very few women that kind of do comedy, people were very, very kind of like, you can't come around here. Because I would go to these open mics that were kind of a boys' club.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one spot called Oyster House. It was like this shithole bar. It was like a bar. This open mic. And I would go up and all the comics decided that like, we want Vanessa to quit stand-up. I was like a month, 2 months into comedy. And all these male comics like collectively, like new, not like well-known, but...
Yeah.
were like, collectively, we want Vanessa to quit comedy. So when I would go up every mic, they would be like, fuck you, get off stage. Like all of them, collectively, like 30 people. Boo, you're not funny. We don't care about what you have to say. You're not, we don't care about you. Stop doing stand-up. Comics would go on after me and be like, fuck, get out of here. We don't want to hear what you have to, what some bitch like you has to say. And for three months, I got heckled. And then I started, I would write jokes at home, and I would write 100 jokes every day for like while I was getting heckled. I was so nervous. Like, I'm going to get funny.
I'm going to show them.
Yeah. I was like Rocky. I was like, I'm going to write 100 jokes every day. Duh, 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 duh. I'm a tiger. And then after 3 months, I went up and I had a good set. My first good set I had at this spot. And one of the comics, the leader of this like crew, was like, wow, you're really funny tonight. So like, what guy wrote those jokes for you? And I was like, ugh.
He couldn't even hate purely anymore. Yeah. He had to like, all right, I admit you're good.
But let me throw this jab at you at the same time.
That's kind of another lesson in it all, too.
It is, man.
Don't worry about haters, everybody out there. We've, Duddy and I have talked about this before. Like, dude, every one of us is being hated on. Like, the coolest person that you ever think is fucking cool, they're being hated on. Everyone's hating. Just trudge through it. And eventually, even haters, maybe they'll come around. If not, who cares?
Sometimes they become your friend. That guy ended up becoming one of my best friends.
Totally.
Strangely.
You win people over.
He couldn't even deny it anymore.
And if you would have just walked out of there all butthurt and not came back because you were scared they were going to heck you again, they would have been like, yeah, we were right about her.
Yep. So the heckling. So, like, I had to gain respect in this thing. So I started fighting back. I would be like, fuck you. I would be like, you hack. And then, like... So I would just take on this entire room. It's like being a show. When you're at a regular show, you're being heckled by like a regular person.
Yeah.
One person. That's not that bad. Imagine being heckled by 30, 40 people who are like kind of trying to be professional comedians.
Yeah.
Who like go. Like that's an aggressive, that's like heckler on steroids. So I started getting really good at crowd work because I would just get back at them and I would shit on them, be like, fuck you, dude, fuck you. And then I started getting their respect, and then I became friends with a lot of them.
If you're making fun of this guy, these three are laughing at him, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, she fucking got
you. And then even
you.
The comic, because the comic is like, oh, you got me, dude. Yeah. And then you kind of build a respect. Like, totally. you held your own.
Yeah.
It's kind of like boxing. You know, like if you're just sitting there getting hit, the boxer hitting you doesn't really respect you. But if you fucking get a jab at him, he's like, oh, okay.
I better watch out.
Look who's trying today. I mean, that's, yeah.
You'll hear that in every boxing match early on. In any big match, they're like, they're trying to get each other's respect. You have to land at least one big punch in the first round or so that the other boxer has to think about
something. Like, I don't want that to land again.
If I hit him, he might counter me with that left hook again. Okay, fuck, let's chill. Yeah, and that's, dude, a lot of people don't know this too. Open mics, I mean, like Vanessa said, it's mainly other comedians. They're all there to get their spot on the open mic. So imagine what a fucking boot camp that is. You want to be a comedian. You know, naturally, most people aren't good when you're starting out, I'm sure, like anything else. And you're sitting in a room full of other people that are trying to be hilarious, and they're not stoked for you. Like, you're taking their spot, you know? Yep. So, and now especially, you got a girl come. She looks different. She's cute. She's everything. They're fucking... I can only imagine how weird that is. Probably weird. It's got to be weird. If I tried to do stand-up tomorrow, I would feel weird. Now imagine I'm looking completely different than every other person in the room.
Yeah.
So you've had to work a bit harder, I would say, than most people.
A little bit. You know, what's interesting is I think people think that female comics, there's kind of like a, like people are like, oh, it's probably easier to be a comic because like you're a girl and guys want to do stuff for you. But it's not true because guys kind of like... It's non-comedy, dude. Like, guys are like, fuck you. This is... Because they feel like you're stealing their spot. Because on a lineup, there's only like 8-10 spots.
Well, so you're just going to get it because you're a cute girl.
Yeah, but it's not like that. Because if you look at most lineups... Here's the thing. I tell people, I'm like, if it was like you could be a pretty girl and just become a comic, most lineups would be like one dude and like 10 female comics. Totally. But even now with all of like the Me Too and the sex... Like, all of this movement towards female equality... The majority of lineups in Hollywood are all men. There's not a single woman on a lineup. It's like when I'm on a show, I'm the only woman on a lineup. Yeah. And it's like there's only, you know, it'd be like only Whitney or only Amy or so. Yeah, it's fucking hard. But I don't know.
I feel like stand-up comedy is a very like kind of a small group of actually well-known like comedians that are making it like a job. Like, as that's got to be very tough. Like
the ones you know,
the ones you
like
know,
road comedians that are just constantly doing the road to survive.
I can only imagine that there's probably so many comedians out there that have been doing it for 10, 15 years, just grinding the open mics, doing it all, and they're still not making an actual living for themselves. So yeah, they see these new young comedians coming up. They're like, whoa, no, you're just going to take my one spot. There's only one spot left and I need that, you know? So yeah, that's got to be like a kind of a little bit of a cutthroat world.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Cat litter. You gotta fight, bro.
Yeah, you gotta fight.
With the gloves. You're like, no, bitch, this is my spot.
Yeah.
And fucking stand-up comedy is so ridiculously popular right now. I'm sure there's just a flood of people trying to do it right now.
But I loved that. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, when you said the 100 jokes thing, because that's fucking awesome. And I'm sure, you know, people are thinking 100 jokes, you're just any idea, right? Anything that seems funny, you're writing it down. So maybe that's something you come back to. I know you're on Kill Tony for like a year. Mm-hmm. So that's a podcast I really like, but I just got into it. I've only been listening to
it for
a few months.
Don't listen to my episodes.
But just for the listeners.
I was so bad.
Vanessa, like just a few months into your stand-up, right?
Yeah.
Don't go back. Don't go back. But well, actually I typed your name in and I couldn't even find it. So don't worry, it's tough to find. But there's a show called Kill Tony. It's like a live podcast every Monday. And basically what it is, you know, he's live at the Comedy Store in LA and he allows people to come out of the crowd. If you sign your name on a piece of paper, put it in a bucket, Tony grabs it out, you get to come up on stage and do 1 minute of comedy. Anyone. If you go down there, listener, tomorrow, you know, next Monday, maybe you get picked. You're on stage on a podcast. Well, Vanessa went very early into her stand-up career. She got chosen, I'm assuming. Were you chosen out of the bucket or no?
They wanted, so Kill Tony, at the time, they were only doing female regulars because they were trying to increase more women in comedy. So now they have male regulars, but before it was only women. And so there was only, you know, there's a handful of female comedians. So they went to all the female comics being like, hey, we're auditioning for the new regular. Do you want to audition?
And when she says regular, there's one comic that every Monday gets to come up for a minute.
The time there was two women.
There was two.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the original regulars was two women and then they got replaced by two more. And then that was me and this other chick. But they asked me and I actually originally said no. I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready. Like, I'm only a couple months into comedy. I don't know if that's really, like, the way I want to grow.
Yeah.
But they were like, it's fine. It's a good thing. You should do it. And I almost quit after a couple months because it was just so hard. And at the time, again, I had a full-time job. And I had a startup that I was trying to do on the side.
Wow.
So I was like, I'm a millennial. Like, now's my time to fail.
Entrepreneur.
I had a startup and then I was doing this and I bombed. I remember bombing really bad in front of Bill Burr is my hero. And I remember I have a photo actually still of me on stage and Bill Burr just head in his hands.
No.
Just being like, oh God.
What was he like the guest
just,
guy?
Yeah, he was the guest judge. Just like he was just like, oh
hell.
Fuck. Just like I bombed so bad. And Bill Burr was just up there like, Bill Burr hates Kill Tony because he thinks it's like the worst. He's like, he doesn't like the show because he thinks it's not healthy for young comics to be in that environment, which I kind of understand. But I bombed so. Can you imagine? Like imagine your musician hero and then they're on stage watching you and just eat dicks.
And I just can't hit a note.
And they're just like,
oh God, this isn't music.
These guys think this is music.
So imagine that. So yeah, you know, obviously there's Hitchcliffe who's a comedian and he always has a guest comic that sits on stage with him. And not only does, you know, they pull a name out of the out of the bucket and that person comes up and they do their minute and then they have to stand on stage and Tony Hitchcliffe and whoever's sitting up there with him gets to talk to that, interview that person. And sometimes they just rip that person apart. Did that ever happen? And you were like asked to be a regular, so I'm sure he was kind of nice. I've seen Tony rip some motherfuckers' asses out on that stage.
They were nice to me.
They were nice to you.
Yeah. But I did have this thing with Pat Reagan, who I don't know if he's still on the podcast anymore. But I remember, but we had kind of like a rivalry thing, like a WWE kind of rivalry.
Okay.
They all watch WWE over there in that little Kill Tony group. So they always try to have these little things, storylines. And so like Pat Reagan would say stuff to me. I remember one time he said, he said to me, he was like, the only way you're going to get to JFL, which is a famous, it's a big famous comedy festival.
Oh, Just for Laughs.
Just for
Canada,
Laughs.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll be at JFL performing as a comedian. And the only way you're going to get to JFL is by fucking a comedian performing at JFL. It was like, we had stuff like that. And then I would say stuff to
That's
him.
That's a good line, yeah. Like for WWE style.
Yeah. It was like very like a, I don't even know, whatever. Anyway, but that's cool that you watch the show. It is a cool show.
Yeah, I just got into it. I popped up on my feed.
But I love the band.
Oh, the band is fucking insane.
Jeremiah Watkins.
Yeah.
Oh, that he's freaking hilarious.
I want to go back as the band. Yeah. Like, can I fill in for Jeremiah Watkins for one day?
Yeah, I love that.
I'm going to do the Mexican drum off with Joe
Burrow. Oh, dude,
please. But I have to have jokes first, and I don't. So.
Yeah.
But why? Here's why I brought up the Kill Tony, and here's why I brought up the 100 jokes a day. When she was a regular, here's how it works. Every Monday, Vanessa has to go up as the regular, and she has to do a brand new minute. So when you hear, hey, you only go up and you say a minute of jokes, that's easy. Now imagine doing a brand new minute every single Monday, and you did it for like a year. It was like 60
minutes.
Spots, man. That's an hour of brand new material for a brand new comedian. Fucking try to write one joke right now. Anyone at home, I dare you. Now try to write 100, you know, try to have a brand new minute of funny material that you're going to stand on stage in front of a group of people and say. It's kind of insane to even think of, but you basically...
You just have to go and do it. It's like with music, right? Like when I think that with writer's block, writer's block happens when you are insecure that what you're going to put down is bad, right? I think that probably...
You're not trusting yourself. You're like,
Oh, like this isn't good. That's not good. Oh, and then you just shut down. You're like, I'm not going to make anything. That happens to musicians too, I'm assuming. So it's like the best thing to do if you want to create, if you want to do anything, right? And if there's anything you want to do right now, whether it's like writing, even if it's like writing a report at your office, the best thing is just start writing. Just go and just write. Don't second guess it, you know? And then because like a song, like, you know what? I'll just write a shitty song then. Yep. I'll just write a song.
Just write.
Just fucking write a song. I'll write a shitty song and then I'll write another song and then another song. And it's like same thing with jokes, right? I'll write jokes, and the first one, I'll be like, oh, that's trash, whatever. Second joke, third joke, fourth joke. And then, like, the 10th joke, I'm like, oh, that's not too bad. Keep grinding. 11th, shitty again. Yep. 12th, 11th. You know what I mean? You just create and create and create and create, and don't second guess yourself, because when you create and without limits and boundaries and without second guessing yourself, that's when you're able to create something, I think, that's more special.
No, I agree. Me and Jared, my partner in the Dirty Heads, we always are sending each other ideas, even just a little voice note of something. And we have this thing where we laugh or I'll just say like, hey, man, you're either going to love this or you're going to fucking hate it. Let me know. And it's like my favorites when he just responds with like the laughing face emoji or something. You're like, all right, trash that one, you know, blah, 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 whatever. It is what it is. But then, you know, every now and then you send something like, holy shit, this is amazing. Thank you. You know, on that note, don't be afraid to just start, but also find that person that you respect, that you can bounce stuff off of, that you know is going to be honest with you. They're not just going to be like, oh, yeah, that's great. You know, have that person that's going to be like, you know what? You're better than that. You know, like, I know you. You can do better, or at least give you some, you know, constructive criticism. You can always have that person that you love to bounce stuff off of. I think that's good to have.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Comedians always form little groups, right, of people they can trust that'll be honest with their jokes.
You know,
you've
got your friends at everything you show, and they're like, that's fucking great, bro. And you're like, no, it's not that good.
Or sometimes you want to create something, and you know it's not going to work. Like, you might write a song. You're like, I can't ever let the public see this, you know? Like, you're like, why am I screaming about, like, fucking cockroaches or whatever? You know, to, like, something weird that's inappropriate or offensive. Comics have that a lot. You're like, you know, I used to write a lot of rape jokes.
like Holocaust material.
It's very funny to talk about. So,
well, you know, I was very private about it. I just started getting more open about it because that's how I lost my virginity. I was raped when I was 13, but I was so embarrassed about it. I would never say it out loud. I was like, oh, because I felt like I was being a victim if I said it out loud. But I would write rape jokes and do that because it made me feel better. And then I would get criticized. This was like four years ago. I would get criticized by people like, wow, you shouldn't say that. That's offensive to victims of rape. And I was so insecure about myself being raped and so embarrassed that I wouldn't even be like, well, I was raped so I can say that. I was like, no, you're right. I shouldn't say it. It might hurt people's feelings. So I just stopped doing it. But it's weird because like But comics loved the jokes. Like, comics loved my rape jokes. Like, I would do it at open mics, and comics would be like, "But that's the funniest rape joke I've ever fucking heard. You're a hero." You know, so sometimes it's just good to have, like, those, to just give it to those people who are like, you know what, you can never say this to regular people.
Yeah.
Because it's not meant for regular people. But for these weird fucked up artists, they're like, "I indulge in this weird thing that you made." Like, I used to have this, I had this rape joke that, this was the one that was like, comics loved it and regular people was like, "You're going to go to hell." It was, can I say it?
Of course.
Okay.
Better at this point.
You look like your arms are tense.
Oh, no, I'm just fucking excited.
We're going to get our sponsorship
stolen
from us.
Hear this joke.
We'll be on CNN this later on.
So the joke was,
is this about Antonio Brown? Oh,
yeah, right. The joke, I was like, oh, because I'm bisexual. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I was dating this girl, but we broke up because she was really bad at sex. And I was surprised because she had been molested as a kid. And I figured she'd be great at sex, you know, like those people who started piano lessons when they were 3. And regular people would be like, oh,
I feel like you could slide that.
Do you think that most people?
Oh, that's just a solid joke.
Do you think it's most people are actually offended by that, or do you think most people think it's funny but want to say that they're offended by it because they think that that's what should be right?
I think it's a combination of both.
I feel like we're coming out of this now because it all went so far, and everyone was like, "I don't even want to fucking hug my mom anymore." I'm fucking, you know. And now it seems like people are kind of pulling back. People that were crazy into the, you know, fucking whatever, crazy lefties or whatever are coming into the comedians, Bill Burr, you know,
like Joey
Chappelle,
Diaz.
Everybody's coming out and finally saying, fucking hell, can we tell a joke?
Yes.
But think the times are relaxing, at least for comedians. I mean, it's good that everyone got all into this because we needed to move everything forward as a society, but now it's relaxing a bit. I feel like you could tell that joke again.
I feel like there's really no gang, but I do think that, well, you know, it's like my dad committed suicide almost a year ago, and he did it right before, a couple days before Thanksgiving. And I had a couple shows at the Improv right after it. And I had to go, I was like, oh, I have to go up. I can't cancel because I had 2 shows at the Improv in the main room as a younger comic, like, you're in a lineup. You know what I mean? Like, it's so lucky to get on those stages at all. So I was like, oh, I can't cancel. I have to go up. But it feels weird doing my makeup material.
Yeah.
You're like, guys, why do I look like Mowgli without makeup? Like, I can't go up there. My dad just fucking shot himself in the face, you know? So I went up there and I just talked about my dad's suicide for like 12 minutes. I had no material. I just went up. But it was somehow funny. Like, I was like, oh, you know, he hated holidays. And this was a weird way to say he didn't want to come this year. We can't talk him out of it. He can't come to Thanksgiving this year. He's dead. Like, you know? But it helped, but for a month
talking about it, I mean, at least, you know,
for a month I talked about his suicide on stage and it was very cathartic. And then I never did it ever again. Cause I was like, oh, it served its purpose.
Yeah.
But I had people who committed suicide who saw it and they're like, oh my God, like no one's ever been able to make suicide funny to me. Thank you so much. So to some people, I mean, it might've been offensive because they have, People respond to trauma and process and cope with trauma in different ways, right? And that's where we have this divisiveness in response to comedy. There's some people who respond to trauma, and if they have something that happens to them, they don't want to address it, right? They want to shut it away. Okay, I got raped. I don't want to think about it. I just want to, like, put it in the back of my mind. So anytime anyone brings up rape, you're like, oh, fuck, why are you making me think about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm reliving that pain.
Now I'm a victim again.
So it feels
again.
Like you're hurting me because you're making me relive it.
Yeah.
Some people cope with it by just ignoring it, right? And those are the people that probably get offended by a lot of these comics jokes about stuff that are touchy. Then there's a group of people, like I would say I'm like this, where comedy is how I cope with things. Like my mom had schizophrenia. She was locked up most of my life. Like she would get put in a straitjacket. The cops would come to my house, put her in a straitjacket, bring her to the mental ward for a couple months. She'd come back for, you know, a month, be good, then go back to the ward and come back. And it was like that cycle my whole life. My dad, I had 3 siblings. My dad, the way he helped us deal with it is he would make jokes about it. I don't even know how, because I still can't make schizophrenia funny.
Yeah.
But my dad was able to make it hilarious. Every time my mom my dad would make these like act outs of her when she was crazy. They were hysterical.
He would just go right into it.
Oh, they were hysterical. It was like me and like three little kids, and we were like laughing hysterically. We were like all on the joke. We were like making jokes about it.
Your mom just got taken away, and you're all laughing.
Yeah, I honestly think it's the only way I was able to cope with it and go to school the next fucking day.
Totally.
Like, my mom would run around the house being like, there are demons taking over our house. There's demons taking, like, running around. There's, like, I have a three-year-old. There's demons taking over the house. You know, the devil's writing on me. If you were a regular kid and took that seriously, how the fuck would you go to school the next day and, like, listen to math? My dad made it so funny. And it was just, like, a joke. The whole thing, he just made the whole thing a joke. My mom, the cops would come. She would get in a straitjacket. He would make fun of it. And then we're like, you know what? That's our mom. But it made it a positive, as positive it could be. And that's the only way I was able to survive that. All the kids in my family are all very successful. My sister's like a head super fancy chef. My brother's like a top opera singer. My one brother is a little weird, lives in the basement. But 3 out of 4, that's not bad, you know, given the circumstances. So
two boys, two girls.
So I was like, that's the only way I could. So I cope with trauma through comedy. The more fucked up something is, the funnier I find it, I think, as a defense mechanism. And that's how most comics are. So that's where it's like, it's kind of sad where you have a group of people who are like, okay, I cope with fucked up things through comedy. Then you have another group of people who are like, well, I cope with things by ignoring them. And then they're the ones blogging. How dare you bring this stuff up and make it funny? It's just two different coping mechanisms.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, everybody copes with things, you know, differently. Like, some people, comedy. Some people listening to music, you know. Some people just, you know, being alone and being the quiet and whatever. Everyone copes with things differently. So who are we to tell people they're wrong for what they're doing, you know? Just, if something's bothering you, don't pay attention. Move along.
That's the whole thing. It's like, don't watch.
Just don't pay attention.
But you have to respect everyone. You know, everyone's gotten their voice out in the last couple of years. Like, every fucking voice has been heard. That's a good thing, you know? And now we can now you were able to dissect it. If you didn't go through the last year of being in LA and being in comedy and hearing all these voices, you know, just fuck, am I allowed to talk on stage anymore? Mm. Maybe you wouldn't have the thought process that you just shared with us. And maybe everyone's learning that now. Maybe even the people that have been pointing fingers and saying, shut up. Maybe they're going, okay,
it's a little much.
Maybe I just deal with it a little different. Yeah. And maybe if people that have also been raped or lost a father or had a schizophrenic mother, maybe if they hear this, like, oh shit. Oh, maybe I shouldn't be so hard. Cause maybe what that comedian is making fun of something that happened to them and that's how they deal with it. I think we're getting to that place. Like, I feel like the last year was weird for everyone on earth, man. It was like,
well, I think, you know,
especially comedy,
so much information is just being shoved in our faces now. And everybody has so many ways to be able to speak their mind.
Twitter,
so it's just this thing
of
like, whoa, we're not only getting all this information, everybody's able to let everybody know exactly how they feel about that information. It's a lot. So I think once it all started coming in, everyone was just pop, 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 pop. But like you said, it gets to a point where like, all right, enough's enough. Everyone's starting to back off. Hopefully it keeps going in that direction. But I did want to just circle back for a second and just go back to energy and look at with her, with what I just loved what she said, a lot of things there. When she started out in comedy and she had all of these, you know, comedians giving her just bad energy when she was up on stage, heckling her, telling her she sucked. She could have taken that energy and just went home and sat on it and just sulked and let that just ruin her and quit. And then she would have probably had some negative energy towards other people on things they were trying to do moving forward. But she didn't. She took that negative energy she was getting and use that as an inspiration to create energy for herself to start writing 100 jokes a day and working on her craft. So she took that negative energy and just turned it into inspiration and created positive energy for herself. And she's even done the same with all the tragic things that have happened in her life. She could have let either of those things would have ruined and have. Both of those things have and will in the future have ruined other people's lives, but she took those. She learned how to get past them with using her comedy, her love for her art to really get past them. And hopefully I feel like those jokes and that energy will help other people that have been through similar situations.
It has to. Yeah, it will. The more you get that message, that's crazy. The shit you're telling us right now. We didn't know any of that.
Bobby Lee, you guys know who Bobby Lee is, the comedian. Yes. So like, Bobby Lee would be like, are you talking about your mom yet? Because for years, for almost 4 years, Bobby Lee has been like, are you talking about the schizophrenia yet? Because I'm so afraid. I don't know how to make it funny.
That's a
My dad was able to do, but he's dead now, so I fucking gotta carry the torch.
I mean, is your mom still alive?
Yeah, unfortunately. No, I just can't. She probably will listen to this podcast. Just made it funny. No.
Hi, Mom.
Hello.
Yeah, she just got out of the lockup place. She got her cell phone.
All right, nice, nice.
She's back on the gram.
She's back on the gram.
Back on the gram, gramming away.
Where can we follow her? What's her at?
Poor her, bro. I blocked her on everything. I mean, it sucks. I let her see my Instagram, but I blocked her on the cell phone because I just can't. Sometimes it's like, When you come from a family or when you come from a childhood of chaos and or like where you here's the thing when you grow up with people who are toxic to you. I love my mom. You know, I know that she did the best that she could given her circumstances. There's not a mean bone in her body unless her medication's off. Then she could be like a demon. But like for the most part, she's a good person, and I love her. But like she's toxic to me. Like. When her name pops up on my phone, I have a panic attack. And I like literally feel nauseous just seeing her name. Like seeing the word mom makes me feel sick. And it's just because like it's the unknown of like, oh fuck, what's next? You know? And I feel like a lot of people have maybe that friend or that's kind of like a little bit of a loose can or maybe a bit toxic. And sometimes you have to learn to just be like, you know what? I know it's not good for me to be in communication with all the time, so I have her blocked on my phone. She's not allowed. She can't call me. I call her sometimes when I know I have the mental space and energy to be okay with it. But she follows my Instagram stories. That's how she's able to keep up to my life.
That's good.
Ah, okay. This is becoming a bummer, huh?
No, energy. It's not. It's good. Energy. It's good. People need to hear this.
I'm sure your mom loved your Vegas story.
Well, let's get into it.
From last week.
Do you know about our band camp segment?
No. Wait, I listened to the podcast, but maybe I missed this part.
It's just a story from the
road. Really. Oh, okay, yes, yes. You know I do know about this. Yeah.
Do you got like a funny or cool like story you want to share with us? It doesn't even have to be a road. It could be anything. Any just a story that stands out to you that you think would be entertaining.
It's funny because I thought of one because they told me about it and now I'm like, oh man.
I got a little drop I'll do. And
don't feel the pressure though.
Okay.
Oh, and this one time at band camp.
Or not whenever you think of anything.
No pressure.
I know. Okay. Yes. The first time I went on the road, I didn't want people, a lot of comics when they go on a road for the first time as a young comedian, you go with a headliner, right? Just like in music, you go with a headliner. Because I was a girl and there's a stigma associated with women going on the road with people, because majority of comedians are men. There's very few female comedians, and almost all of them only take dudes on the roads for some reason. I don't know why. But I was like, oh, I'm going to go on the road by myself because I want people to respect me. So I slept in my car for 6 months and went on the road. And I would drive for Postmates in random cities, and then I would do comedy in, like, Portland. So one night I was in San Francisco doing comedy, and there is this neighborhood called the Tenderloin. Now at the time I wasn't familiar really with the Tenderloin. For those who don't know, Tenderloin is considered the most dangerous neighborhood in America.
Oh wow.
It's basically a free market for drug lords and like sex seller people. So usually in most cities there's kind of like it's like grids, right? So like, oh, this block is this pimp and that block's that pimp and this drug dealer. So the Tenderloin is a free market where there's no lines. So it's this little section, and there's three really good comedy clubs in this little section that are like kind of underground. Anyway, I slept in my car in the Tenderloin outside the comedy club because I was like, oh, it's probably fine out here.
It's fine.
I wake up one day, I woke up in the middle of the night to a dude peeing on my window.
Like right where you're...
Yeah. Like peeing on my fucking window, bro. And I was like, oh, damn.
Nice dick.
Yeah. I was like, I made it, bro.
Oh, this my guy's God.
I was like, I needed a car wash. You know, this is free. Thank you so much.
And then he asks you for change. He wipes it down. Where hook it up, man.
Yeah, he wipes it off. He's like, all right, that'll be $5. You're like, okay, you know. God. I mean, you did show me your dick. I probably should tip you.
All right. $6.
So what's worse, piss on a window or shit in a cup?
We started with shit and ended with piss.
I know. You bookended it nicely. Dude, we didn't even get into so much. We want the podcast. I hope we can get you on again.
I would love to come back.
Let's chat about your podcast real quick. Yeah. I mean, right before we did, there's no rush on us getting out here. Vanessa has an amazing podcast. This is how I found out about her. So aggressive. Pop it up for the people who are watching on YouTube to see. And I've noticed something, like, so far. How many episodes now? You're in like the almost 20-ish.
Yeah, 20-ish.
There, it's 20-ish. And it's been all women so far. What's going on? What's your podcast?
We only have, okay, so when I started the podcast, because of my relationship with my mom and her being schizophrenia, I had a very kind of strange relationship with women. I was very scared of women. And now I have almost only female friends, which is cool. It's been this growth period. But the podcast was kind of designed to get to know women and see women who are, you know, doing cool things and are just like badass in their industries. Like, we have athletes and comedians, and I'm starting to get scientists on, and I want to get like an astronaut on, you know, cool chicks. So I started out, we're only having women. And then one of my friends, Curtis Lepore, who is he was like the number one guy on Vine, and he's like a big social media comedian star guy. He was like, you know, I've had guys ask me to do the podcast. They're like, can I do your podcast? And I was like, oh, dude, we only have women, you know? Curtis asked me, he's like, can I do your podcast? And I was like, oh, dude, I only have women. He's like, can I come on as a woman? And I was like, what? He's like, I'll come on as Peggy Sue. Cause he has this character he does on Instagram or on Vine called Peggy Sue, where he wears a wig. It's like him and King Batch used to do all these sketches together where they had wigs and pretend like they were girls. Mm-hmm. So he's going to come on the podcast in 2 weeks as a woman. So we might have dudes now.
Nice.
Coming
on. Dress up as a woman.
You just have to dress up as a woman.
Fucking loophole, dude.
So if you guys want to come on, put wigs on and come on as chicks.
All I got to do is just I'll just throw a couple like melons in under my shirt and I'm in, dude.
I'll wear a dress.
Yeah.
I get on your show. Cause when Lance turned me, so we have a mutual friend, Vanessa and I had never met her till tonight, but her, you know, our mutual friend is Lance, and Lance had told me about her podcast. So I listened and I listened. And one of my favorites was, I think it was episode 3. We had the girl who was in the army.
Yeah. Lulu.
She was awesome.
She's coming back tomorrow.
Dude,
actually.
She's fucking cool. And the story of, it's a great one. I think it's episode 3. Is it not?
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody, you know, go subscribe to So Aggressive, Vanessa Johnston, and you'll get to that episode. But my wife was in the military, so I just thought it was cool when I was hearing her story of acting up and talking back. It's fucking a great episode. But so I was turned on to you, you know, through Lance, and that's how I, you know, found out about you, was just listening to the first few episodes. And and I had just started this with my brother at the same time.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm like, oh, how cool. You know, and I was asking Lance, I want to be on her show. And he's like, Only chicks, dude.
Bro.
And I'm like, all right, that's cool. And I mean, it makes sense. Why not?
You guys know? Can come on. Put on some, we're getting wigs.
I'm into it, actually.
Put on some melons.
So
into
I'm
it.
So
Lance,
down.
You heard that.
You guys can create female alias names and then just
dude,
be like,
I'm
hey.
In.
That's easy. We can do that in a heartbeat. We had cowboy names. What was your cowboy name from back in the day?
Deputy DB Feather Whistle.
Yeah, dude. I forget mine, dude. You awarded me my... Back in the day when we would tour the Dirty Heads, everyone had to have a cowboy name. Another thing that happened on the tour bus with them, which was funny, is everyone who was on the tour bus, in the Dirty Heads tour bus, you know, mom jokes. Every guy, fucking banging your mom. If you came on the Dirty Heads tour bus, you had to tell everyone your mom's actual first name. So that way all the mom jokes were...
personal.
We're really
they
nice.
Cutting deep.
So I just
bad.
Remember cowboy names everyone had, and then everyone's mom's first name was just getting tossed around real easily. Oh, the fun days. But we can come up with girl. No
we'll
problem.
With girl ones.
Yeah,
Daddy's
we'll come
like,
up with girls.
I already got long hair.
Yeah.
I'm set.
I'm set. No, I'll throw on like a nice skirt. I'll get into it.
That would be cool. So also, when the episodes drop.
Oh yeah, we drop every Women Crush Wednesdays.
Women Crush Wednesdays.
Women Crush
we
Wednesdays.
Drop Wednesdays too.
Yeah, what's up, team?
Damn, there you go. We got crushed.
Every Wednesday, you guys are going to get two new
Boom,
podcasts.
Check
to listen
it out
to. In your face.
And also tomorrow, or actually when you're listening to this, tonight at the Improv of Hollywood.
Improv, you can follow me on Instagram at Vanessa V. Johnston. And yeah.
Check it out.
Anything else? Anything else?
That's it.
That's it?
Thank you for having me on. This was so
Thank
fun.
Thank you so
Holy
much for
shit.
Spending your time with us, driving all the way through LA traffic to Tustin to do this with us after a 9-to-5 job. Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Thank
that
you
was
guys.
So much fun. And as always, thank you to everyone at Reamp Studios for crushing it. Thank you guys always. Cutlassbrand.com. Go check it out. Get your gear there. Put in code FEELINGGOOD at checkout and you're going to get 20% off your goalie shit.
Okay, bro.
For the viewers
what
on YouTube.
The fuck?
Guys, I'm sorry. I didn't want my ex-boyfriend to come in.
He came all the way from
Followed
Vegas.
You from Vegas. It's the bleeder. The spelunker is here.
Okay, oh, thank you guys. Hell,
what a show. Thank Peace you so out. Much, Vanessa Johnston. Everyone go follow her right now. Peace.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.